Welcome to the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amsoil.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amsoil. It's been a while, Brent, it's been a while since I've really talked to you about racing. I think part of it is we both got the post-World Championship weekend chest cold, didn't we?
Yeah, we weren't feeling the best after Crandon, and it seems like every time we leave Crandon, there's just so many people that we interact with, and you never know what kind of bug goes around, but at the same time, it was a long, long weekend, very tiring, but a lot of great excitement.
What I think stood out to me, you know, over the last couple of days getting ready to record this and kind of reflecting on Crandon is, you know, and I think me racing is part of why I'm going to say this, but the vibe felt different at Crandon than it has in a couple of years. Felt like the vibes were just a little bit better. Did you sense that too? And what do you think that's all about?
No, I just really think it's just the camaraderie, just everybody year after year building up to what it is today. I mean, we go through the 40th, the 50th now, and just these weekends are huge, not only on the map, but for us. I mean, the drivers get better and better. The amount of cars just keep expanding. And yeah, that vibe was cool. You were racing behind the wheel. It was great to see you doing battle, not only in the booth, but out on the track. And man, it was just Crandon. And I don't think it was anything but great.
Yeah, I for sure agree with all that you just said. And again, this weekend was a special for me in a different way because I was driving. But still, I came away from it reflecting on it. It just feels like Crandon is so great at creating lasting memories and creating those feelings that you talked about. You know, I got to spend, and again, a lot of this is just because of my personal ties to the place, but you know, I got to spend a lot of time with my dad. I got to spend some time with my stepsons, you know, just sharing the experience, going to the Van Nelson chili cook-off, you know, sharing that with a bunch of people. I kept saying over the weekend during the show that it's a 4-day celebration of all things off-road. And it's definitely that, but it's also kind of a 4-day family reunion for all of us off-road nuts. And I think that's what a lot of what makes it so special.
Yeah, and I loved how you brought up the chili cook-off because my brother and I and you were just chilling out with everyone. It was so great to meet up with people I didn't even get to meet up with all season long and had some great food and great company. And I think more and more teams should have that because granted, we won't have enough time to go around.
Right.
But, I mean, it is so much fun to bring that to our sport and everything about it, I always say, is over the top. But when we bring other interests, that's what I love to see. It's not only the racing. I mean, you're there so many days. Now, when you get home, man, other than being sick, it really wiped me out.
Yeah, it took me for sure a couple days to feel fully alive again. And again, it was the Crandon just packed so much excitement into, you know, 4 or 5 days. One of my friends even made the joke that you realize that it makes you cherish the shorter race weekends a little bit because being at the racetrack is kind of like being in Las Vegas. He said, you know, a couple days is awesome, but 5 straight days, it'll wear you out.
Yeah, I agree. It's just really a long, dragged out weekend, but I wouldn't want to be anywhere else as on the race weekends. And that's what's fun about it. But it just takes a lot. And you got to give it up to all the teams and the families that give up those weekends to come not only watch their favorite driver, but the crews. They're coming from a 9-to-5 normally through the week. And then the sportsman drivers, unbelievable how they can pull it together. And
well, let's talk about some of that sportsman racing because, you know, Crandon was the finale for the sportsman and, you know, those points battles, especially factoring in the drop rounds, which looking back over the season, I think I'm in favor of continuing that moving forward. I'll float the question to you first. Out of the all the sportsman champions and world champions, are there any big headliners for you? Anything that stands out? Any fun battles that you're going to find to be memorable a couple of years from now?
I think it's the teeter-totter and light buggy throughout the season. I thought it was so laid out perfectly. We didn't know who was going to win at any given time. And then at the end of the season, long story short, Stingle just wraps it up and gets so emotional. And we felt it so much in the booth, just the hard work, the passion, the behind the scenes that guy puts in, him and his son and his family. I mean, it means so much to me to see that veteran take it against all those young guns, which aren't easy to do.
Yeah, many, many moons ago when I was announcing in the late aughts, the late 2000s leading up to 2010, Stengel was winning championships or competing for championships then. So it's been, you know, it was really cool to see him, him and Mike Seefeld, who won the 1600 buggy championship. Both of those guys, you know, were winning buggy championships when I was much younger, and they're here they are still winning.
Yeah, it's amazing to watch and get to call the races with you. And I have to look at Jersey Kleikamp, right? I mean, never ran a lot in the past, not giving up, and her father, Jamie, putting her in great equipment and then locking in that championship and multiple wins over the year. And just to keep that confidence, she's so quiet off the track, but I think she's one to watch growing up through these different divisions. I think you're going to see her in a bigger class.
Yeah, and it's not lost on me whatsoever that Jersey, for my money, she had one of the best seasons of any sportsman driver in all of Champ Off-Road, racing absolutely in 170 side-by-side against regularly, you know, 25 to 30 plus cars every single weekend. She didn't go to Wheatland. She used the drop rounds for that, which still puts her by the eight ball a little bit, because then you can't have a bad day. You can't end up flipped on your lid if you want to run down the championship. That eliminates your margin for error. She finished outside the top three once this year.
Wow.
In the races that she came to. She was fourth in the final round on World Championship Saturday. But by then it was, you know, all but locked up for her.
Yeah, and it takes a great driver to get that job done. And she would just wiggle herself right through the field no matter where she started, right? You could start up front and start in the back of the pack. She proved she could start anywhere and get it done. And I mean, that says a lot for such a young driver at such a young age. I mean, and a lot of these drivers, I mean, they just keep coming after that top spot. And I think our future looks very, very bright, Shane. And I mean, those drop rounds you were saying earlier, how you were in favor of them. I mean, I agree. You know, if somebody can't make a round, if they have a wedding or any family event, that gives them a little bit more breathing room, I believe.
Yeah, and you brought up the future, and we were talking about Jersey Kleikamp, obviously, but a couple other young drivers that came out with good results when it was all said and done. How about Cody Krantz, youth side-by-side and 570 side-by-side points champion this year? In the 6 years or almost six full years of Champ Off-Road, the list of people that have won multiple classes in 1 year is pretty dang short. You got Billy Booth, CJ Greaves, Brock Hager, and now Cody Krantz. I think that's it.
That's crazy to put him in that division that at this age and level. I mean, but he's getting the seat time, right? His father's putting him in two different cars multiple times in the year. I mean, he's learning how to drive. He's one to watch. He's fast. He's a very great little driver. He understands what he's doing. And I feel he's one to see move up through the ranks like just any other one in our classes, because they really care about the sport. And if they're in good equipment, you still got to drive it, and they're doing that well.
Another question that I guess I'll ask you first, Brent. Now we have the one full year of Pro-Am Turbo side-by-side, you know, in the rearview mirror. It was a brand new class for this year. We didn't know what it was going to look like. You know, obviously we saw early on the guys that were putting cars together to jump in. I know Wusterbarth and Benjamin Heiting were two of the early guys to say they were all in for it. Rick Schroeder barely comes out on top when it's all said and done. But that was a really fun class this year, even with only, at times, six cars in the field.
Right, and you and I both know there's a lot of divisions in this side-by-side division. And, I mean, the Pro-Am Turbo, I was kind of hit and miss with it. I'm like, all right, let's see how it goes. You know, not a lot of cars. But, man, Rick Schroeder, Benjamin Heiting, they put on one heck of a show, and it just came down to some bad luck, I believe, at the end of the year. It would have been nice to see them go at it and duke it out head-to-head, but that's what racing's all about. And, you know, I talked to Brian Heiting and Ben Heiting quite a bit this year, and they're just pummeled with bad luck, and they're just like, man, how do we overcome this? They're doing all the prep work, getting that car ready week in and week out, and still it was breaking. Some of the things they couldn't do nothing about, but, man, Rick Schroeder, he was fun to watch.
Oh, for sure, and I actually had a chance to talk to Rick at the parade before Labor Day weekend. Oddly enough, it was the first time I had gotten a chance to even talk to him face-to-face, other than kind of a wave at the driver's meeting or whatever else. And I asked him right away, I said, well, 2026, what are you thinking? And he was hesitant. And then his wife said, yeah, we're coming back. So hopefully that's a good sign that we're going to see Rick back with us next year. He was fun to watch all year. And you talked about the bad luck for Heiting. After Sportsman side-by-side, I jumped out of the car that I drove, flew up there on Friday afternoon, caught the last couple laps of Pro-Am Turbo that you and Nolan were calling. And I remember Benjamin Heiting was leading that race, and he broke, what, 30 feet from the finish line, coasted across the line, but finished second. That's a 3-point swing. He lost the championship by 3 points when it was all said and done.
Yeah, and that's tough. That's a tough pill to swallow, man. I mean, he did everything in his power to get there, and he said something was going wrong with the car right up until the end. Don't ask me what part. I've talked to so many racers since Crandon.
Sure.
But, I mean, at the same time, it's just all about getting to the finish line first, and those are valuable points there at the end, and he knows it, right? And we can't point fingers, what if, what happens, if we would have did this or one more lap. It's how it shook out, and I think we're in for a good, good treat in 2026, and I believe more cars are going to get into that class.
Oh, for sure. It's going to be much bigger next year and that much more competitive, you know, whether or not some of those drivers decide to graduate out to different classes or move on to different endeavors. It's going to be bigger and that much better. Onward, we'll go with this. I apologize. This episode's going to be kind of an info dump for the listeners, a lot to talk about. We want to recognize as many of the people that as we can, especially from the sportsman ranks. Short course kart, for my money, probably the most fun class, most fun battles to call all season. I'll go on record saying that. Maybe not just among the sportsmen, but among the pros too. Short course kart was an absolute blast. How about Gabe Holcher coming into the final weekend, third in the points, ends up grabbing the championship by just 2 points.
Yeah, that's just crazy, right? I mean, he had to get that done to make it all happen, and everything just fit in the right order. And to be there, you have to be strong all season long. And he really laid it down in Fall Crandon and made it happen. And like you said, it's one of the best classes, if not the best class to watch, and not only watch, call for us. I mean, they are so locked in Steph in one another. They're like a train or a chain locked together 99% of the time. I mean, they're doing a right thing with our tech crew and how they're keeping those engines the same. I mean, it comes down to driving. And as far as we know what they're doing. They're learning a lot. But if you're watching them at home, hey, they're putting notes together for later on in their career, and it's definitely helping them.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, drivers that we've seen, and we'll talk about a couple of them a little bit later on, who came from short course kart, you know, several years ago and have moved on to, in some cases, much bigger and better things.
Bigger and better.
Yeah, I mean, the proof is in the pudding in that class. And I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. I should have had this pulled up in my notes too, but I think short course kart had 8 different winners this year, and 7 of the 8 were first-time winners, which, again,
wow,
that's kind of baked into youth racing. That's kind of why we love it so much, why I love it so much.
We do.
Again, I mean, so competitive, so evenly matched, and you're seeing, you know, legacies start to be forged for these really young drivers. You know, career win number one. We talk about it all any chance we get. CJ Greaves at one point picked up career win number one, right?
Oh, yeah, and that's what they look at, right? And you and I both, growing up as kids, you always wanted to be the best and do the best you possibly can, and this is what these drivers are doing. And to look up to guys like CJ Greaves and Ricky Gutierrez and Johnny Holger and a host of other great talent, I mean, that's what you want to see our sport do. And I think they're just going in the right direction, and I'm kind of jealous, not gonna lie. Like, to run a car and a truck at that level at such a young age, man, it's great to see for the kids.
A couple more sportsman headlines I want to get through. Nick Bing, first Super Stock Truck Championship since, I believe, 2019. Did you even realize it had been that long?
Well, it didn't feel like that long because he's been really strong the past 3-4 years. So, I mean, man, he really put it to him this season, just being consistent and then really putting the words in our mouth and saying he's a second half driver and really putting the gas pedal down in that second half of the season. You never knew when he was going to try to pounce for that lead. He was going for broke every time.
And I think the story for me in Super Stock Truck was, you know, Bing obviously started the season hot with a win out at Wheatland, but to continue that success throughout the year, you know, Braden had a really great start, but kind of ran into some doldrums through the middle of the season, had some bad luck at the very tail end at Crandon. You know, Scott Belanger, kind of the same thing. He was a little bit more inconsistent, a little bit more boom or bust. And this was the year that finally Bing's steadiness, I guess, really paid off for him.
Yeah, and you've seen it all year long. I mean, guys like Brad Barglin, I mean, he really showed a lot of speed, led some laps multiple times. And really just needs luck on his side as well. I mean, Holger, he was fast. I mean, there's a double handful of drivers, 10, 11 drivers that can win at any time. And I think Bing just overcame everyone's bad luck and made sure he had a great day on those bad days. And it just kept adding up, and he was there in the end. And he's a well-deserved driver to win that championship. And you and I both know he's been around for a long, long time, Shane.
Oh, and he's not done yet. That's the, I guess, the scary part. You know, everybody knows the other drivers in that class recognize that, okay, this is the same Nick Bing I'm going to have to fight with next year. Strap up. It's the challenge is still out there for you.
Yeah, and you know they're going to go back and do their homework and make that truck that much faster. And we can't call these trucks anything stock anymore. I mean, super stock truck, it just sounds not even right. I mean, they got to be a pro of some sort, because I don't know how many people we talk to, pro racers, sportsman drivers, fans, anyone around the sport just says, man, super stock truck and mod cart should be different in our schedule.
Yeah, make me a plus one on both of those.
Right.
Mod cart, especially towards the end of the race day in the sportsman schedule. Just a couple more sportsman winners to hit. These are all world champions. How about the teammates, Belanger, Brian Piot, doubling down, defending last year's world championships in super stock truck and stock truck? They did it again this year. Seems like, you know, even for the occasional, like I said, with Belanger, especially the kind of up and down season he has, that's 2 years in a row that he's come out on top when it matters, when the ring is on the line.
Yeah, and I loved how you said that, right? When it matters the most at the big house. You, the most people, the biggest crowds, the biggest fans, the biggest companies. I mean, this is where you have to do it, and that is what they did. And I mean, Piot really showed a lot of strength, and through that whole race, both of those races on championship day, it was crazy to say, you know, back-to-back world champions. I mean, you just want one ring on your finger, let alone two.
Yeah, there weren't a whole lot of repeat world champions. Connor Schultz is one of them. We'll talk about him a little bit later on in a different light, but two quick more world champions I want to talk about. How about Colin Byer and 1600 Buggy and Knox Lafferty, who's a Crandon local. He's from just up the road in Leona. They both got their first career Champ Off-Road podiums by winning their world championship races. How magical of a day is that?
Man, that's really easy to check off. You did it all right in one race. And I mean, that's a confidence booster in itself. And watch out. If you can get that job done at the biggest spotlight on the season, you're doing something right. These drivers, more and more, bigger groups of people are getting together, helping each other out, and it's creating these cars to last a lot longer, become a lot faster, and these guys are able to just drive and sit back, and that's what's so cool to see about some of these classes.
By the way, Colin Byer raced six rounds this year, and last year was his rookie season in Champ Off-Road. It was his rookie season in any kind of off-road. Former drift guy. I had a chance to talk to him last year and get to know him a little bit. But yeah, raced six rounds, showed up, had to start outside the inversion, and somehow outran, I mean, a stacked 1600 buggy field. That's nuts.
Yeah, I mean, you got to be going into the winter very positive and confident. I just can't wait till next season to see what they have up their sleeve. And then you have Greg Stengel, right? Is he going to be done? I highly doubt it.
Yeah, don't. That's your speculation. We've talked about that off microphone a lot this year. But
why wouldn't you, though?
Something tells me he's not quite done yet.
No, I mean, how do you put the guy to rest? I mean, he's in his prime. I mean, right when you can lay it down with these young drivers, I mean, I'm sure he goes to bed at night feeling really good about how his program has never failed him, right? He's always been in that top five, no matter how bad of a year he's had, as far as I can remember, Shane.
Right. Yeah, since we were teenagers, if not younger than that. Well, as always, this podcast is brought to you by Amsoil, and we want you to use the Amsoil Shop by Vehicle tool at Amsoil.com. That'll take the guesswork out of picking out the best oil and filter combination for whatever kind of vehicle you have. Doesn't matter if it's driving on the snow or down the street or in the dirt. Choose the right product and packaging option for you and enjoy fast, free delivery right to your door. Visit Amsoil.com to learn more.
Well, the sportsman never disappoints. I mean, what a great season it was. But, man, the pros also raced at Crandon. And it was
hard,
one of the best.
It's hard to remember
shows.
That.
I know. It's just been a while. I mean, it's been almost a month now. We've got our feet wet a little bit, getting ready for California. But man, what a show those pros put on again.
Yeah, I think, you know, looking ahead at Glen Helen, we'll talk more on the next episode, which will be out before the final rounds, 14 and 15 for the pros. You know, obviously pro spec is insane. 1 point margin right now between Chris Vandenelson and Wyatt Miller, who won the race, the points race Saturday at Crandon in round 13. I was also kind of looking forward to Glen Helen being really tight in pro buggy, but Chaden Minder ran away with that race in round 13, and Jordan Bernlohr and Billy Booth didn't have such a great day. And part of that's because of the expanded field, a few different drivers showing up, like Mr. Lorenzo Bonacci making his return, finding his way to the podium. Now that's a 28-point margin between the Big Tuna and Jordan Bernlohr, and Booth's another couple of points back. What I noticed, though, is, you know, and Minder had won a race earlier this year, but when he got out and jumped on the car at Crandon in front of that big crowd, much different emotion. It looked like he was, I can only speculate, but like he broke down and cried inside the helmet on top of the car. He was that excited about winning that race.
Oh, yeah. He's had the pilot lit all year long, but I mean, he's definitely lit up the flame, dude. He's going nuts and he's going to be hard to tame. I mean, that 28-point lead. We asked him a couple times to be on the Champ Off-Road podcast presented by AMSO, but he's back at home prepping that car. Yeah, he's getting it ready. He wants to focus, and I'd be scared going up against him, especially out west.
Right. I mean, that's his home turf.
Unbelievable what he can do behind the wheel. I mean, Bernlohr, he's not out of it, but yet you got to have some hope that maybe Minder has some bad luck, but you don't wish it on anyone. But look at Billy Booth. He's going to come out swinging and try to lay down a couple wins. And from what I've seen and what that track looks like, I think it's going to be a show there in pro buggy.
Yeah, basically, that points margin, by the way, 28 and 31 points that Bernlohr and Booth are trailing by, that basically amounts to they would have to beat Chaden Minder by 9 or 10 total spots over the 2 days. So, but like you said, Minder would have to have a bad day. And yeah, qualifying, you know, there's 5 points up for grabs there too, but effectively, Minder would have to have a really rotten weekend. And it just doesn't feel like the way his season's gone that you're hoping against hope for him to have a bad time out there. And I don't see that happening.
Yeah, Big Tuna, he's ready to rock and roll. And he's going to bring all his cards to the table. And it's going to be whoever can get there first and stay together. And I think it's going to be hard to chip off those points. We know over the years of watching, if you got that healthy points lead, he's not going to try to get in any trouble.
Oh, for sure. And you mentioned the other guys going for broke. And I, you know, that's what it comes down to, is pure aggression versus Minder, who maybe will do a little points racing. But the only thing I worry about with him doing that is his whole MO is being aggressive. That's what got him to where he is now. And you don't really want to change your approach, I don't think, into the final rounds, do you?
No, that's your mojo. You got to keep on racing like it's your last race of your life, right? I always said that. You never known for what happened in the beginning part of the year. Anyone over the winter, they're going to know who won the last race of the season. And I learned that from Kyle LeDuc, right? You're only as good as your last one.
Yeah.
He always said that. You just got to keep moving forward. Who cares if you swept the weekend 2 weeks ago? Everyone's here to watch these last and final rounds. And when you're at the big house, that's who's watching you. It's a big crowd.
What are your thoughts on that pro spec battle? Again, Chris Vandenelson 1 point ahead of Wyatt Miller. If you had to pick a favorite going into this final two rounds at Glen Helen, you know, again, a different kind of track than anything we've raced on this year. Who has the edge there?
Man, I don't know. I'm in favor of both of them. I want them just to have a nice, clean, rough race, if that's the way I can call it. You know, I mean, body panels, they're replaceable. You want to make sure that they both end on a strong note, but it's going to come right down to it. I mean, it's going to be hard for them to shake out the points when you have a host of other great talent in the class. So hopefully they can get out, do their thing, but I mean, both of them can wheel, but I think I would lean towards truck setup. Who can get their truck to work the best? And they both had all that all year long. So, I mean, Miller's going to be tough. He's been in a lot of different vehicles. He sat in a 360 last night. So, yeah. I mean, he's starting to drive just about everything. So that really gives him an advantage. But, hey, you know, the older man, Chris Vandenelson, he's still young at heart.
He's like 10 years younger than us.
But I know, but I mean, compared to Wyatt Miller, I mean, he looks at it right that way, but You're out to win. And I think you're going to see a good battle. And don't make me pick ever again, because I can't give you one.
The humor there is not lost on me either, that the contrast between the approach leading into Glen Helen, which is now a week away as we're recording this. You know, like you said, Wyatt Miller was driving a sprint car, spinning some laps. He's been, you know, racing a couple other different disciplines of dirt track racing since Crandon. Chris Vandenelson, and all he does is race pro spec. And him and his wife, Amanda, were already headed out west as of a couple days ago, and they were taking their time and just kind of enjoying a leisurely road trip out there. So two very different approaches to being mentally prepared for the finale.
Yeah, and Chris is going to do a wonderful job. He'll get out there. He's out there as we speak. I seen Robert Nash on his Snapchat. He threw me a picture and said that they're out there testing. So, I mean, he's going to adapt very well. So it's going to come down to whoever has the best luck and who can dissect the track the fastest, because it's not just your normal layout anymore. I got to broadcast multiple times out there. And I mean, that whoop section they put in is very flowy, and I love it.
Well, moving on through the other pro classes as we head to the final two rounds, Owen Van Eperen swept the two races in round 13, pro stock and pro side by side, picked up both wins. He has clinched pro stock. The concrete's dry on pro stock side by side. Owen Van Eperen is your champion in that class. He's got a 39-point lead over Jeb Boodle in pro side by side. And CJ Greaves had a bad day in both of those classes, as well as pro four in round 13. So essentially pro side by side down to just Owen Van Eperen and Jeb Boodle. And we can talk about this at length more in a little bit too, but Owen Van Eperen, man, what a season.
Yeah, he's put on a clinic. I mean, if you want to learn how to drive, you should have been paying attention. Owen Van Eperen, that kid was just wheeling all season long. I mean, going out to California now, he's going to just have a comfortable lead.
Yeah, he's already been out there testing too.
Yeah, and he's just going to go out and win races, right? Sure. And I mean, I never thought in the beginning of the year that we'd see the pro divisions pretty much wrapped up.
Definitely not pro stock out of all of them. There's a handful that are fairly distant, but I mean, pro stock, you look at, you know, Colin Truitt, Jeb Boodle, and CJ Greaves, and, you know, all the drivers who are kind of on the rise. David Gay being a rookie in that class, you would have thought that the points would have been a little bit tighter, but for him to lock it up with the whole weekend remaining, I mean, he can go out there and just have a good time in pro stock.
Yeah, he's going to do a lot of media out there. He's got a lot of time to just relax and just have fun. And I mean, you know, the other drivers are going to be going after it. I mean, it's a big weekend for all of them, but man, Owen Van Eperen, he's fun. I said, we got to get him in a truck.
Let's look at the other pro truck classes. The only one that's really close-ish is Pro 2. Keegan Kincaid, 44 points ahead of Rowdy Ryan Beat.
That's a pretty comfy lead, though.
CJ Greaves ahead by 69 in Pro 4. He can basically go out there and just have an all-right day in Round 14. He'll have it locked up. And Johnny Holcher, 52-point lead in Pro Light. Same story. He can basically just have an all-right day and cruise around in Round 14, and he'll lock it up. But Pro 2... still a little meat on that bone, and I'm thinking that we might get a couple extra Pro 2s. We know Ronnie Anderson's going to be out there. We might get a couple extra drivers from out west, guys who we haven't seen race with us in quite a while.
Mayan will be back, I know that.
There's a chance there for Ryan Beat to, you know, have a heroic weekend and make it interesting and hope for some bad luck from Keegan.
Oh, yeah, that's Ryan Beat's old stomping grounds, right? I mean, now he's
motocross-style track, but too, by the way.
Oh, yeah, and you're right at Glen Helen, and man, he's going to tear it up as well as all the other Pro 2 drivers. But Keegan, man, what a bounce back this season, just really laying it out, having that great win in that cup race. I mean, just everything's been lining up for him, so he's out there testing right now. So I'm sure we're going to see a war, but it's going to be just fun to see it all lay out.
Just think about the season that Keegan's had, though. I mean, to come back this year and decide to run for a championship again, which, you know, we've seen the interview that he did with Haley where he talked about struggling with depression after winning his last championship a few years back, and the long road to getting back to the point where he wanted to race full time. If you had told Keegan starting before this season that he was going to be part of the most viral moment in the history of our sport, then that he was going to almost completely destroy his truck in Bark River, and then still have a commanding points lead going into the final rounds, he would have looked at you like you were nuts.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm still trying to process it going, man, how is he still with that healthy of a lead? But that goes back down to Bradley Morris helping him out at Bark
Oh,
River,
no
getting
doubt.
those valuable points there at Bark River when he was down and out. You said it perfectly on the live show. You know, I mean, he was tore up. I mean, mentally, physically, they bounced right back and threw some points underneath the hood, and now he finds himself out front. I think he's stronger than ever. They didn't only build that truck, they did some changes, minor changes. You know, Jeff Kincaid and the guys and Keegan, they're innovators. They try to make that truck better and better each and every time. So, I mean, he wants to do it. Those are all Lucas Oil stomping grounds out west back in the day. So he wants to win one.
Well, all those drivers that I mentioned with points leads or a good shot at a points title, you know, they're going to add on to whatever legacy they have so far. And I think I've been thinking about that quite a bit since Crandon, that part of the magic there is that it really is where drivers can build legacies or establish legacies. So I want to talk about that for a little bit. Some drivers that I've been thinking about, kind of where they stand as far as their legacy or the way that we're going to look back on their careers whenever they're finished. First up, this was not a champ race and it was not a champ event, but World Cup Sunday, RJ Anderson won his third Crandon World Cup Pro 2 versus Pro 4 race. That ties him with Keegan Kincaid and Rob McCachran for second most in the modern era, which I'm saying started in 1995 with the BorgWarner shootout. Johnny Greaves, Scott Taylor, Kyle LeDuc, by the way, two apiece for them. CJ has five.
Wow.
But where does that put RJ Anderson, who's been a part-time racer for 6 years now? Where does that put him among some of those all-time greats that I mentioned?
Well, you have to put him right there. He has to be right alongside the best of the best, right? I mean, you just named them all off. R-Mac, I mean, Keegan, Kyle LeDuc, Scotty Taylor. I mean, CJ with five, but I mean, RJ with three. I mean, that is outstanding. And he's not done yet. He's still young. Right. I want him to run a full schedule. Granted, I talked to him
Please.
multiple times and he said, you know, I just can't cut it with the schedule. I mean, please, Polaris, let him come and play with us because we just love to see him do battle. And he ends up on the podium. Him and Ronnie are just phenomenal and they're great people. They're great for our sport. And he belongs in that group. I mean, right alongside the best of the best. Imagine if he came full time and laid it down. It would be amazing to see. And that truck's older. He's ready to build a new one.
We don't have time on this podcast, or in probably one calendar day to really establish who would be like the Mount Rushmore of off-road,
If
like
there could be 10.
who the four drivers would be. But do you think that the third World Cup win for RJ puts him into a conversation where you could make the argument?
Yeah, he needs to be in that line. If you had to line up the top five of all time on the Cup weekend, RJ has to be there. I mean, there wouldn't be a mountain long enough in my eyes right now. And granted,
Sure.
Kyle's one of my favorite, if not the favorite ever overall, no matter what, right? He can't speak for anyone right now. But what he did in a short period of time, what CJ's done at 30 years old,
Man.
I mean, where do we go? I'm just glad we're a part of it. I have goosebumps right now just thinking about the greats that we got to watch growing up. And I wish they could all ran together all at
Oh,
one time.
dream race.
Oh,
Absolutely, dream
unbelievable.
race.
And
All those
Scotty
guys that we just
Douglas,
mentioned on the track at
right?
the same time, my goodness. Someone at some point will be able to do that with AI, and I look forward to it. Maybe this is another kind of Mount Rushmore-ish, you know, ultimately meaningless conversation, but let's talk about sportsman buggy racers a little bit. Greg Stengel, again, much to our delight, eighth light buggy championship this year. When you compare him to some of the other greats, guys like Mark Steinhart, Seefeld, Art Schmidt, even Scott Taylor in his early days, Tom Schwartzberg, drivers like that. I mean, Stingle's got a pretty good case for being on the Mount Rushmore buggy guys, doesn't he?
Oh yeah, he's right there. I think he should be right dead center in the middle of it all. I mean, he's one that not only ran the sport in that class for years, but he built it, right? He had guys that were looking up to him and looking forward to racing against him and bouncing all the notes off him and still doing it. Unbelievable. I don't think there's a weekend I went to an off-road race where I didn't hear his name.
Well, another definitely in progress legacy when it comes to buggy drivers, Connor Schultz. You know, we kind of already knew it and maybe had talked about it some, but he sat on the podium at Crandon. That's it for him in light buggy. He's done with light buggy. over the last 5 years, 4 world championships, 1 points championship in light buggy. That is a run in that class, along with the three-peat points championship by his twin brother, Colin. You know, if they were one person, that would be the most unbelievable run of anybody in any class ever, I think. But for Connor to go out the way that he did, winning the ring race, big shoes to fill for that class, and makes it wide open next year, right?
Yeah, and they can all take a deep breath, right? I mean, now they can go after one another and try to find that new overall.
Try to figure out how to slow down Greg Stengel now, just like it was 10 years ago.
Right. And I'm sure
time is a flat circle, I think.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure we're going to see some great battles no matter what. But it's cool to see Schultz move on to bigger and better things. And he's going to do great things throughout our sport. And I just hope they stick it out and stay around, because the growth of the buggy divisions are like back in the 90s when I used to go watch Davey Vandermissen and all those guys from Bark River back in the day. Just
Brad Erickson.
Tear it up. Oh, yeah, man. And it back when it was 30, 40 cars and they're running through the woods, and now you still have Stengel going, hey, I'm still around.
I think light buggy, you know, talking to drivers in that class, people tell you that, yeah, I got a buddy that's been thinking about putting a car together, but nobody wanted to jump in when the Schultz twins were ruling the roost. I think the class is going to get quite a bit bigger over the next couple of years.
Oh, yeah, it's going to get crazy. I mean, I know there's a lot of cars out there, and I'm sure we'll see 30 plus cars in the field like we did. And we'll see new winners and new dominant drivers. And I can pick out a couple as we look.
We kind of talked about this already, but Owen Van Epperen in line, it seems like, to win 2 championships, already has one in pro stock, locked up, pro side-by-side, just has to have a couple okay days out there in Glen Helen. And again, we talked about it with Cody Krantz, the list of drivers in Champ Off-Road 6 years so far that have doubled down and won 2, or in CJ's case, 3 championships in 1 season. Pretty short. That's a huge accomplishment if he can bring it home in pro side-by-side.
Oh, yeah. I have a feeling you're going to see Owen Van Epperen's picture up in the all the best of the best. He's just one to watch no matter which way you put it. I mean, you can throw him in anything. I mean, he's so comfy behind the wheel. He's dominating in our sport. And man, what else is there for him in the side-by-side division, really?
I wonder if Nolan's got a running win total for Owen, because Owen started out younger than CJ did, by the way, back in short course kart and raced up through mod kart before jumping into the side-by-sides. By the way, Owen just graduated high school back at the beginning of summer. So again, a huge long career in front of him and already tons of accomplishments and about to lock up his first, or already has locked up his first pro championship and right on the edge of locking up his second.
Oh, yeah. His father, Ronnie, he's just so appreciative of the opportunities they've had with Yamaha and their business and just what he's done for Owen and putting him in the right shoes. And I'm telling you, he has the front row seat half the time, and he's couldn't be more proud.
Yeah, and bringing up Yamaha, that's interesting, too. Year-over-year pendulum swing back and forth where, you know, last year CJ came out with the Polaris's, I believe last year was the second year in Polaris's, but laid the smackdown on both the side-by-side classes. And then this year, Owen Van Epperen, brand new cars for both of his classes, comes out and punches everybody in the mouth. So score one for Yamaha this year.
They got to be just happy as a whole group moving forward. And I'm excited to watch them out west. They were testing as well.
Oh, yeah. They're going to, like I said, Owen's going to go out there and put on one heck of a show. Rodney always puts on a show. I think I've made it pretty clear by this point in this season that Rodney's one of my favorite drivers to watch. Just, I could watch him run laps by himself. So, yeah, excited to see what both of those guys do out there. And then one more driver who I want to talk about the legacy so far, and that is Wesley Vandevort. Won his 3rd world championship. He had 2 in short course kart, picked up his first one in mod kart just a couple weeks ago at the Big House. 3 world championships before you get out of high school is a pretty good start to a career, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's just exciting to watch him because his father's just been a big part of this sport, and getting to share time with him and seeing where he's progressed. It's really cool to see him in the mod kart division. He's going to do bigger and better things in the truck class.
Yeah. We kind of spilled the beans on that already, that Wesley has got his eyes on pro spec, maybe on a part-time basis next year, but they do have the truck already. Yeah. Pro spec. It's going to be that much more fun next year. Lincoln Monsager, the mod kart champ, making the jump as well. at least on a part-time basis. So more young blood on the way. And I've said this a couple times this year that, you know, we're starting to get the big influx of our homegrown youth drivers who started in, you know, Champ Off-Road youth classes making their way into the pros. Future is bright, my friend.
Oh, I'm excited to see it. I mean, I also have a Pro Spec chassis sitting in my garage if anybody's looking for one, because this class keeps growing. We're going to see 15, 16, 17 trucks before we know it. And man, they're doing battle. I didn't really like this class when it started because we didn't have a lot of trucks. But now with the healthy trucks, I make sure that I'm ready to rock and roll when I watch this class, because you never know what's going to happen.
Well, I can tell you what is going to happen. We will have one more episode of the Champ Off-Road podcast for you before we head west to Glen Helen for the final rounds. That's it for this one. Thanks for listening to the Champ Off-Road podcast presented by Amsoil. We'll talk to you again very soon.
Thanks for listening to the Champ Off-Road podcast presented by Amsoil.
Hey everyone, long time no talk. This is the, what's it called? Yeah, I think part of what I came away from Crandon with too is that, you know, and again, and it was different for me this time than it had been for a while. I'll let my dog finish taking his drink.
That got me going there.